you ever wondered why we refer to the day Christ died as Good Friday? Seems somewhat strange, doesn't it? I mean, Friday is the day that he who was celebrated had become despised. He who was innocent was punished like the guilty. He who was the lion was slaughtered like a lamb. That doesn't seem good. And consider the Pharisees and their motives. For them, it was a premeditated murder, though it was actually a predestined sacrifice. They thought they were taking his life, though he was in fact surrendering it. Death was their goal, yet life was the outcome. Because God had other plans, he made one day affect all of eternity. He turned the wounds of one into healing for many. He transformed our worst acts of hate into the greatest expression of love, so that at the cross, we can hand over our sins in exchange for righteousness. We can lay down our burdens and pick up freedom. We can come broken, yet leave restored. The enemy thought it was going to be a bad day. We now call it good. And though we all thought it was the end, it was actually just the beginning. It seems God has a way of rescuing us from ourselves and flipping things around. Maybe that's why we call it Good Friday.
Amen. Welcome to Good Friday. Would you stand with us? We're going to go over our vision statement because we do this just about every service. It'll be up on the screen. It's called Come As You Are. So maybe this is your first time joining us. This is a huge part of who we are as a church. So would you read it with me? We desire to be a safe place to be in process, a place where everyone realizes they are in process. None of us have arrived. And so tonight is all about the cross, and we will be celebrating why it is so good. But would you pray with me, and we're going to go into some songs that are going to turn our attention on Christ. So, Lord, we thank you so much for what you did for us. It truly is good, although it seems so bad for you. We just thank you and praise you for your sacrifice, for the grace that came of that, Lord. The wonderful blood of Christ that cleanses us. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for your sacrifice. That's what this first song is just all about. The wonderful sacrifice, the wonderful blood that cleanses our sin away. So, Lord, we sing to you. We welcome you here. We praise your name. And it's in that mighty name of Jesus we pray. Everyone said, amen. Amen. Let's worship together.
Calvary's mountain flowing down to you, and I, it washes us clean. Oh, what a mystery. The red blood makes me white. Isn't it wild? Doesn't it make you wonder?
We know with all our heart that your wounds have paid our ransom. You took our sin upon you. We sing our praise. We sing our gratitude. We cry out to you in thanks, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
yours. Cause you got a lion inside those lungs.
Worship you. We throw up our hands and we praise you again and again for what you've done for us, for all that you will do, for your grace, your mercy, your sacrifice, God. We worship you. We rest in the peace and the joy and the hope that we have in you. God, I pray over the rest of our time tonight that you would meet us here, that you would remind us, that you would encourage us, that you would speak to our hearts. It's in the mighty name of Jesus I pray. And everyone said, amen.
You may be seated and join us for a time of reflection as we read Psalm 22, which Jesus quoted upon the cross. My God, why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far away when I groan for help? Every day I call to you, my God, but you do not answer. Every night I lift my voice, but I find no relief. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. Our ancestors trusted in you, and you rescued them. They cried out to you and were saved. They trusted in you and were never disgraced. But I am a worm and not a man. I am scorned and despised by all. Everyone who sees me mocks me. They sneer and shake their heads, saying, "Is this the one who relies on the Lord? Then let the Lord save him. If the Lord loves him so much, let the Lord rescue him." Yet you brought me safely from my mother's womb and led me to trust you at my mother's breast. I was thrust into your arms at my birth. You have been my God from the moment I was born. Do not stay so far from me, for trouble is near, and no one else can help me. My enemies surround me like a herd of bulls. Fierce bulls of Bashan have hemmed me in. Like lions, they open their jaws against me, roaring and tearing into their prey. My life is poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax melting within me. My strength has dried up like sun-baked clay. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You have laid me in the dust and left me for dead. My enemies surround me like a pack of dogs. An evil gang closes in on me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. My enemies stare at me and gloat. They divide my garments among themselves and throw dice for my clothing. Oh Lord, do not stay far away. You are my strength. Come quickly to my aid. Save me from the sword. Spare my precious life from these dogs. Snatch me from the lion's jaws and from the horns of these wild oxen. I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. I will praise you among your assembled people. Praise the Lord, all you who fear him. Honor him, all you descendants of Jacob. Show him reverence, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not ignored or belittled the suffering of the needy. He has not turned his back on them, but has listened to their cries for help. I will praise you in the great assembly. I will fulfill my vows in the presence of those who worship you. The poor will eat and be satisfied. All who seek the Lord will praise him, and their hearts will rejoice with everlasting joy. The whole earth will acknowledge the Lord and return to him. All the families of the nations will bow down before him. For royal power belongs to the Lord. He rules all the nations. Let the rich of the earth feast and worship. Bow before him, all who are mortal, all whose lives will end as dust. Our children will also serve him. Future generations will hear about the wonders of the Lord. His righteous acts will be told to those not yet born. They will hear about everything he has done.
So Good Friday, as a service, is a little bit more of a solemn feel. It's my privilege to just speak about the cross and, you know, what was Jesus really doing up there? And I'm just going to start out by reading slowly and letting us contemplate on the lyrics of How Deep the Father's Love. This kind of summarizes basically all that I'm going to say tonight. It starts out with how deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure. We truly cannot measure his love, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. He gave his son for us. And when you begin to understand the truth behind the gospel, that all have sinned and all have fallen short of God's glory, you really begin to realize how much of a wretch you really are. But he gave his only son for you. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. So I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer. I don't know. Why do we get his grace? I don't know. But this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. Jesus paid our ransom. That is why Good Friday is good. And every year we stop and we're like, why is it good? Because a lot of bad happened. So we just recap all the things that were technically bad. Jesus, the Son of God, was betrayed by one of his 12 closest friends. Someone who walked with him, saw him do all of his ministry, betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. After he was betrayed, he gets beaten, he's mocked, goes through a total rigged trial. It was all set up. They just made stuff up. He gets denied 3 times, and actually one of the Gospels says that as he's being kind of mocked and he's on trial, he looks over and he sees another one of his 12, Peter. They like make eye contact is kind of the implication. And then Peter, after Peter had disowned him 3 times, says, I don't even know him. And then he was, you know, continually beaten again. He was flogged. If you've heard the stories of what Roman flogging was like, it's pretty terrible. His back was absolutely destroyed. And then he was forced to actually carry the instrument, the cross, the instrument of his execution. He's forced to carry that to the place where they're going to kill him. These are all evil things. But in the end, we see that even evil things are subverted by our God to bring about something amazing, something profound. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer. It's so profound, it's so beyond us that we can't really grasp it. But this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. So we're going to just, in Luke chapter 22, one of the passages about that night when he was betrayed. This is before they came and arrested him. It says, then accompanied by the 12 disciples, this is right after the Last Supper, Jesus left the upstairs room and went as usual to the Mount of Olives. There he told them, his 12 disciples, pray that you will not give in to temptation. He walked away about a stone's throw and he knelt down and he prayed, Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will be done, not mine. Then an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him. He prayed more fervently, and he was in such agony of spirit that his sweat fell to the ground like great drops of blood. Jesus was clearly very distressed. He was so emotionally charged that he was sweating blood. This is an actual condition. You can be so stressed out that you actually sweat blood. Now, many of us have been through traumatic things in life. We go through betrayal. We experience failure. We get hurt by others. We hurt others. Pain is a part of our lives. And I don't want to minimize or dismiss any of the pain that any of us have gone through. We as humans do experience legitimate pain. That is a part of life. However, believe me when I say that nothing any of us have ever gone through compares to what Jesus went through for us on Good Friday. Not even close. Not even close to being close. Not even in the same universe. Words cannot describe how far our worst day is from what Jesus experienced. Nothing we've experienced can even come close at all. And so I've found myself at times thinking about the physical pain of the crucifixion, and to be sure, that was a terrible way to die. The Romans were very, very good at punishing people. It was a terrible way to die. Your hands, your nails through your hands and feet. You actually can't breathe when you're hanging there, so you have to lift yourself up on those nails in order to breathe. As I mentioned earlier, he had been flogged, so he was probably missing a lot of the skin on his back. So as he was lifting himself, that was scraping up against the cross. Not to mention he had to carry that cross while he was, you know, pretty much, I mean, he was dying at that point. He'd probably lost so much blood. But what did Jesus pray on the cross after that? He said, Father, or what did he pray in the garden? He said, Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will be done, not mine. And the question that I had years ago was it because of the physical pain that Jesus asked God to take this? Was that the cup of suffering? Was that the reason he was sweating blood? And I came to the conclusion, I don't think that was actually. In fact, once again, the physical pain was actually not worth being compared to what was happening in the spiritual realm. What was Jesus doing on the cross? And there's an amazing passage. This is my only slides for tonight. This is the passage. This is what Jesus was doing on the cross. It's Isaiah chapter 53. It says, he was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him. and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Here's what he was doing. It was our weakness he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. If you want to go to the next slide. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. And he was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep is silent before his shears, he did not open his mouth. Unjustly condemned, he was led away. No one cared that he died without descendants, that his life was cut short midstream, but he was struck down for the rebellion of my people. He had done no wrong, never deceived anyone. But he was buried like a criminal. He was put on in a rich man's grave. But it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. Yet his life is made an offering for sin. He will have so many descendants. He will enjoy long life, and the Lord's good plan will prosper his hands. What do you think it really means that the Lord laid on him the sins of us all? I mean, I can kind of think that through, but upon like further reflection, I'm not sure that's something we can fully understand. However, I can realize that it's far worse than anything we can imagine. How great the pain of searing loss. The father turns his face away. Rachel read Psalm 22. That was the psalm that Jesus quoted while he was hanging on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? And theologians have debated over what that means, but I can tell you it was a terrible experience for Jesus beyond anything we can comprehend. We can't even begin to imagine the pain that he went through, but we can know the outcome of what happened. I know that because we can have new life and forgiveness. We can be made new. So tonight, Good Friday, what we do is we get together and we take time to honor our Savior. Let his sacrifice on the cross humble us. Let his sacrifice inspire us. So tonight, as we bring this service to a close, we do something very powerful. That's what this is right here. In recognition of the suffering that Jesus went through for us, we're going to take time to nail our own sins on the cross. And when I think about this ceremony, I think about Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. It says, those who belong to Christ have nailed the passions and the desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. Pastor Steve is going to explain this further, but basically what we're going to do is we're going to nail our past sins, our shame, our passions, anything that would lead us away from God, we are going to nail it to the cross. For he bore all of our sins so that we could be free. As the song says so well, how great the pain of searing loss, the father turns his face away. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life, and I know that it is finished. Why did Jesus do this? Why would he endure being crushed by the Father for us? Because he loves us with an unconditional, eternal love that is so far beyond anything we can understand. Why would God give up his only son to make us wretches his treasure? We didn't do anything to earn it, guys. When you read through Scripture, the impression is that we were actually actively fighting against God. We were rebels. We were running away from him. And yet he sent his son to do that, to be crushed, to take all of our sin upon himself. That's the love of God, that he would chase you down. He would sacrifice his only son so he could have you. That's the invitation of the gospel, and that is why it is Good Friday. It defies all human logic, but it is true, and we can rest in it. So would you pray with me before Steve comes up, Pastor Steve comes up and leads us in the ceremony? Father, we stand in awe of your sacrifice. We can't fully comprehend what you were doing, what you felt, how great the pain of searing loss. But we can rest in the truth of your victory. We can rest in the truth and what you proclaimed on the cross. It is finished. It is finished. You accomplished your goal. You took on all of our sin, all of our pain. You paid our ransom. You paid the price. And we just surrender to you. Tonight, if you have not surrendered your heart to the grace and the sacrifice that God has made for you, you can. He is reaching out to you. He is actively pursuing you. And you are not here tonight on accident. He gave his only son so that you could be made right. And he is offering his grace to you. He's saying, come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you will be saved. So if that's you tonight, there's a simple prayer. It's not, there's no magic words. That's your attitude before God. It's your heart before God. When you realize that you have sinned and you're separated from God, but you encounter the love and the grace and the mercy that he offers us, and you simply surrender to that, you might pray something like this. Father, I understand that I'm a sinner, that I have sinned and I fall short. But I accept your grace. I accept your sacrifice. I declare with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I believe in my heart that he was raised from the dead. And I want to follow you the rest of my life. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I'm going to invite Pastor Steve up, and he is going to lead us through this ceremony.
Thank you, Pastor Cameron. Would you bow your heads with me? Tonight we remember the greatest sacrifice ever made. And in a moment you will be invited to come forward. You have a piece of paper that you can write down the things that you've done that you regret, the sins that have weighed you down. And I just want to invite you to pray this simple prayer with me. Holy Spirit, point out what is unholy in my life. Holy Spirit, point out what is unholy in my life. Now, some of us, we already know what it is, but just take a moment and ask the Lord to point out, see, the Holy Spirit is here to make us holy, to make us more like Jesus, and he will point out things that are getting in the way of that. So Holy Spirit, point out in us what is in me, what is unholy. And then I want you to take that piece of paper and would you please write that down? And maybe you want to use code. You don't have to write the actual thing down, but just something that symbolically you're putting that on the piece of paper. This isn't a forgive me, God, and I'm going to go right back to it. That can't be our heart. In fact, it needs to be Holy Spirit, take away the desire for that. Lord, I want to live the way you would want me to live. And then in a few moments, we're going to have you come forward and nail your sin to the cross. I love Colossians 2:13. It says, he forgave us our sins. He wiped out the debt that was against us. He took it away and nailed it to the cross. And nailed it to the cross. This is a holy moment, so I would encourage you to be in prayer with the Lord. Pray for the person on your right, left, in front of you, behind you. This is a time of sacred communion with the Lord. So in a few moments, the ushers are going to invite you row by row to nail your sins to the cross.
I belong to you. Only you.
me of myself, I belong to you.
I'm not afraid to
You know, as I was watching everyone nail to the cross, I was reminded of the ground is level at the foot of the cross, isn't it? That we all get the grace of the Lord the same way, and that is the undeserved merit of Christ. And think about these nails. That's just our church, and Jesus experienced the nails of the whole world. I invite you to come forward and the cross was the place of payment, but the story doesn't end with the debt being nailed down. It ends with the debt being destroyed forever. In a few moments, I'm going to light the cord, and as the fire spreads and these papers turn to ash, watch how quickly they disappear. This is a symbol of God's mercy and grace. Once he forgives us, he doesn't keep a file on us. He doesn't bring it up later. It's gone. In Isaiah 44:22, I will wipe out your sins like a thick cloud. I will scatter your sins like morning mist. Because of the cross, our sins are not hidden. They're removed. You're no longer defined by what you did wrong if you're a believer. You're defined by the one who made it right. So let us pray. Father God, we just transfer onto the cross our sin, our regret, our pain. God, help us to just let it go and today trust in your amazing grace. We ask this in your name, and everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. Please stand for the blessing. May the love of God the Father wrap around you. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ go with you. And may the peace of the Holy Spirit stay within you. Go now in the knowledge that your debt is paid, your sins are gone, and you are dearly loved. Go in peace. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. Now may you go in the grace and the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone said, Amen. Amen. Amen.